It's the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast, the podcast that takes you from Seattle to Tokyo and all points throughout history. From the Seattle area, it's Jim Valley, longtime broadcaster and wrestling fan. And we go across the Pacific Rim, the Pacific Ocean, to Tokyo, Japan, and Japan's leading historian, author, and all-around nice guy, Fumi Saito. How are you?
Hello from Tokyo.
So,
Yeah?
I just saw something. I've got, because of you, thanks to you and my connections to Japan now, I have many Japanese friends on Facebook, including the person who I think is the number one wrestling fan in the world, Masahori.
Oh, okay. Masahori. Yeah.
I think he's the number one wrestling fan in the world.
I think so, too.
I don't think anybody comes close. I don't think he goes to all the shows all over Japan. He's got pictures with everybody several times over.
Yeah,
I think he's the number one wrestling fan.
Yeah, from Luthes, Korogachi, all the way down to your current superstars, right?
Yeah,
everybody in between.
He's the guy. So if he's listening, hello to Masahori. But he posted
There was a newspaper article.
Is this a newspaper? Okay, what's the name of the publication?
It's Yomiuri Shimbun, Yomiuri Newspaper, Evening Edition, May 23rd. Yomiuri is a big, huge capital group, you know, that owns like Yomiuri Giants, the baseball game, you know, baseball team, and also, you know, Yomiuri TV and the Nippon TV, that the TV stations, and basically Yomiuri Shimbun, like a real big news, you know, the media group. And this, the Yomiuri newspaper we're looking at, this has over 10 million circulation daily in Japan. Over 10 million circulation. That's huge, right?
So what did it say? There was a cover story on the...
Yeah, about the revival and rise of New Japan business, New Japan pro wrestling business. See, Yomiuri, you know, newspaper doesn't normally cover professional wrestling, you know, and this is in the business section. And these are the number that it's kind of, see, these are very legitimate numbers that they done the research, and it doesn't look as big as it should be, but I believe this is a legitimate number. They're saying that the Japanese wrestling market, All the wrestling groups combined, you know, $130 million market a year. Is this small or big? Because when you talk about WWE, you always say multi-billion dollar corporation, right?
So what they're saying is that all of
you haven't answered my question.
Well, I think that that's a given. I think that everyone thinks about WWE. I mean, and the money that WWE, you know, brings in, it's a juggernaut, particularly with the TV rights.
Right. And all wrestling group combined, annual market, you know, price or the market value is about $130 million in Japan, is what they're saying.
Now, is that primarily ticket sales?
No. The market, you know, that buys and sells annually, you know, the incoming and outgoing, and this is the market value, you know. Kind of like, you know, the automobile market or electricity market or radio industry market price, or, you know, that worth net $130 million annual is what they're saying.
And that's not just New Japan.
All group combined. That's not that big, is it?
But I would think the vast majority, you know, New Japan is, pardon the pun, the lion's share of that number.
They give 2017's New Japan's number as $38 million that year alone. $38 million. It's kind of like just the TV money for, or the Monday Night Raw money for WWE alone. I mean, Raw, you know, Monday Night Raw alone. Don't you think? But these are legitimate numbers. 1998, you know,
You
1998,
mean 2018?
no, 1998 New Japan Price was on it. 2005 New Japan Business was on it. 2011 New Japan Business was on it, and the uprising again in 2017 went back to 98 or something. 98, there's the net value of New Japan was 39 million. In 2005, went down to 13 million. In 2011, 11 million is not good. In 2017, went back to $40 million range annual net gross, you know. And now, yeah, that's pretty much legitimate. The research was done by the place called Yano Research Institute, and they do a research on companies, you know, in the market, and market values, and incoming and outgoing, and all these, you know, that graph they can, you know, chart they make. And they did research on wrestling market, and they estimated that the whole all these wrestling companies combined this year's gross, it was about $130 million in Japan. And the 40 million is about New Japan's share.
And then the rest is divided up between the 100 or so other companies.
Oh yeah. Oh, let's say about 35 legitimate wrestling groups. Because when you say 100 wrestling groups, you know, we are counting all the independents too, you know. So yeah, but the top 30 groups, you know, like a 01 or Dragon Gates, the DDT, the Stardom, you know what I'm saying?
Well, in all
So,
Japan, I guess.
oh, Japan, oh, of course, oh, Pro Wrestling Noah, Big Japan, Michinoku, yeah, of course.
Is WWE included on this with their tours, or
No,
they?
no, oh, no, because it's not. It's like your foreign, you know,
Okay.
concert. I don't think they can include WWE
I
at
didn't know
all.
if they meant like just companies that run in Japan or only strictly native companies. Okay.
Native companies that has office here and pays tax here.
So who would be second? Would that be All Japan then?
The company they listed was kind of biased too, you know. On New Japan, they listed the Old Japan, they listed DDT, Dragon Gate, Big Japan, but did not in Michinoku Pro Wrestling, they did not list Pro Wrestling Noah. They did not list any other women's group. They did not list any, you know. Well, they didn't list 01 or other smaller companies. They listed about six companies that are famous, they thought. Or they listed companies like a Kyushu Pro Wrestling and Osaka Pro Wrestling as a local franchise, you know. So different people do different kind of research, and it's not, you know, done by wrestling people. So that's how they look at the business, I think. And it's on Yomiuri newspaper. And there was an evening edition last night. I'm sure millions and millions of people have seen it, you know. And what's interesting is, though, Yomiuri newspaper, the biggest newspaper in Japan, done this wrestling research on their business section. And 2 weeks back, the magazine called Aera, owned by Asahi Newspaper, another real, you know, pretty much second biggest newspaper, they ran story on New Japan. So, more mainstream media, print media, you know, at the Yomiuri newspaper, the Asahi newspaper, they are doing stories on professional wrestling recently.
Which is often a sign that things are on an upswing or have been for a while.
For a while, yeah, it's not like a right now, because they are pretty, see, those legitimate media. Or more conservative newspaper, you know, types are a little slow in catching up, right? And conservative about it. So by the time they run a story on their newspaper, maybe it already had peaked. Who knows? But it's very important to see wrestling pictures and stories, and you know that what's on pretty much wrestling story. Well, on business section at that the. people think it's booming.
So your reaction to this is that it's not as big as people think. What's your reaction to all these numbers?
130 million doesn't sound all that huge as a business, you know? Because some pop music acts will generate 130 million on their revenue by just one rock band, you know? Don't you think?
You know, I guess it depends on if you're Kiss or you're playing at a, you know, small venue. I guess it kind of depends. And, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is...
people wouldn't be counted here because $130 million market, what can you compare this with? You know, is this as high? It's not as big as NHL. It's not nearly as big as NFL or NBA, you know. And it's a lot smaller than WWE.
And right, but we're talking in Japan. So, what would be the biggest sports you would compare it to in Japan?
Biggest sports, baseball, of course.
Yes.
And sumo wrestling. And professional soccer.
Any idea what any of those bring in or what their market size is?
Oh, market size, I'm sure that baseball would be like a tenfold, you know? Yeah, 12 major league baseball team, you know, running what, 140 games per season each, and they have what, 30,000 to 40,000 people every night. Baseball is huge, you know, and somebody just recently asked me, you know, if they can pack Tokyo Dome, New Japan, I'm talking about, if they can pack Tokyo Dome, why don't they just have all the card at the Tokyo Dome? It's impossible, you know? And so people are noticing the popularity of professional wrestling again in Japan, and especially New Japan. And they have always hear about, they are running shows at Tokyo Dome. Oh, wow, right? But reality is Wrestle Kingdom at Tokyo Dome happens once a year. That's why it's huge. You know what I'm saying? But some people say, yeah, if they can pack Tokyo Dome, you know, why don't they have show at the Tokyo Dome all the time? This guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Eh?
I think we can agree on that.
The research has been done with other people. That's good because people are noticing, you know, other people outside wrestling noticing the booming of pro wrestling, especially in New Japan. But they're interesting to have Yomiuri newspaper running stories on professional wrestling and New Japan business. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, and they probably did themselves a disservice by not including some of the Joshi companies because...
None.
While they may not do the best on tickets, I would be willing to wager that when it comes to...
Popularity,
but also the amount of souvenirs purchased and
also cultural value of women's professional wrestling in Japan, history, you know, the 60 over 60 year history of women's pro wrestling in its evolution, you know.
I've seen those merchandise lines a few times now at Stardom and Ice Ribbon and Joshi Pro, and there's some money being made there, no doubt.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure that the big media people look at wrestling always as kind of something niche, right? But wrestling is a niche. WWF is niche, if you ask, you know, big media people, you know. So,
well, let's switch gears and talk about AEW.
So let's leave it at that.
Double or Nothing this weekend.
People are migrating into Las Vegas like right now.
I know. You could have been there. You could have been there.
Yeah. Probably next time.
We'll get you there. We'll get you to Las Vegas. I'll be very excited when we get to hang out.
People are posting photos. I just got here. Yep. On Twitters and in Facebook, you know, on Facebook. They are in Las Vegas right now. Oh.
I could have gone, but we're leaving for Mexico in a couple of days, so I didn't want to.
Are you on vacation again? Oh.
And next week I'm gone. I don't know. I didn't tell you that, did I? Next week I'm in Mexico.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll do my own show.
That's fine. I'm sure you have a lot of volunteers that want to replace me. what was I going to say? Oh, Young
So
Bucks.
AEW is happening, and there was a very interesting. Yeah, if our listeners out there that doesn't know, you know, some of these people probably don't know about this. There was a very interesting interview done by Young Bucks.
Yes.
Right.
Where they basically said that they didn't feel appreciated
by New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah.
New Japan didn't know what they had with them. And that was why they decided to leave, that they just were not happy with the money. They weren't happy with their place on the card. And
the way they were pushed.
So what was your, when you
and,
saw
and,
that?
And then also they were saying like if they had this ROH and New Japan dual contract, we would have signed and stayed. Then there would never been all in. And there would never been AEW and all these things. They talked about it like their consequences or something. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we've talked about it before. I mean, yeah, the Young Bucks, how big of a star are the Young Bucks in Japan?
Let's put it that way. They never headlined New Japan Pro Wrestling Show. Headline, never. Not once. I'm not against them, you know, personally, but they always made it look like or sound like they're much bigger than they really were. You know what I'm saying? They were, yes, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions a number of times, but they were always on maybe second, third match, you know, at best. And they said, you know, they didn't recognize the value of Young Bucks, you know, and they weren't pushed enough or not the way they were, you know, like happy about. And that's why they left. And the Young Bucks interview sounded pretty bitter. Didn't it sound kind of bitter about it?
Well, it was Nick talking, and he even said something that surprised me, that Ring of Honor paid better, he says, than New Japan ever paid them.
Par match, I think. Yeah, because when you come to New Japan, you'd be booked for this 3-week tour or 2-week tour, or sometimes you don't go home in between and they book you for another 3-week tour or something, and they pay you by week. And ROH, they run, what, four cars a month? You know, just on weekend and maybe 4 shows a month, of course you'd be making money, you know, more money per match if that's what they're saying, you know.
Just to the Japanese fan base, how popular were the Young Bucks?
I am not sure, because they were pretty popular among social media oriented fans, let's put it that way. You know, and also I've been, you know, told by old timers this about this thing. There's a 2 different popularity, you know, the ones that are so over at the show, you know what I'm saying, by watching their match and people pop and they're popular. There's that kind of popularity. Another, you know, kind of popularity is that you actually sell tickets. These are 2 different popularities. That's what old timer will teach you. The ones they can actually move tickets and sell tickets, they are your important commodity. There are guys that are so over at the match or in the building during the, you know, match, and they do things that pop people, but they don't necessarily sell tickets. There are two types of popularities. Do you know what I'm saying, even?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And here's the question, though. Would it have been a better strategic move for New Japan, Ring of Honor, to anticipate that letting the Young Bucks go? Maybe no one could have predicted AEW, but they could have predicted that they'd go somewhere else and, in theory, help whatever competition they decided to go with.
Or create.
Yes, yeah. And then in this case, create.
Yeah. Number one, in that way, New Japan and ROH are not on the same page. They don't necessarily work together to promote a certain talent. What happens with, you know, with with Young Bucks in ROH ring has nothing to do with what New Japan would do, and what New Japan would do in New Japan ring will probably have nothing to do with ROH would do in ROH ring back home. So they don't necessarily work together on that. That's where Young Bucks are somewhat confused. That if ROH and New Japan would have had dual contracts, we would have signed and stayed. And there is no such thing. You know, they might be the ROH and New Japan are two different companies and that are maybe work together, but not necessarily affiliated, you know, and they have two different programs and two different storylines and two different TV, you know, shows, and they don't necessarily work together all year long. You know, sometimes New Japan bring in some ROH wrestlers, ROH would like to bring some New Japan stars once in a while. That's way, you know, they call it partnership, but not necessarily affiliated. What do you think?
You know, when you mentioned the point about tickets, someone who's over in the arena versus someone who sells tickets or something. Have you read The Observer this week? Have you read this week's Observer?
Not yet.
Okay, so there's something that's interesting that Dave wrote, and I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. It says, New Japan World subscribers have hit 122,000, with good gains coming with the start of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. An interesting note is that the two most watched matches thus far have been Rocky Romero's matches with Will Ospreay and Robbie Eagles. And some of that is because Australia and the UK are more favorable time slots than the US, but still, you'd think the Japanese bouts would dominate since Japan has the most subscribers. And Dave goes on to write, and this is kind of where I want to get your thoughts, this has helped Eagles, Robbie Eagles, in the eyes of management.
Yeah.
That they feel like both he and Ospreay may be becoming stars.
Probably, because they see numbers. Numbers don't lie kind of thing, right?
Right, the metrics are right there.
Yeah. Oh, their matches are great, actually, you know?
Well,
and
yeah.
Will Ospreay and Rocky Romero work very well together, and Rocky Romero is Ospreay's one of the favorite opponents to work with.
And it looks like kind of what we talked about, that, yeah, this could be Will Ospreay's tournament, and then he spins off and goes into the heavyweight ranks for good and moves up the card. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that. Really believe that.
Yeah, you've been talking about that for a long time.
And he'll be the heavyweight sensation. Yeah. And also, he is committed to work with Japan, and he wants to stay with New Japan, and he will become superstar in Japan, and he's not going anywhere.
Right, and same thing with his girlfriend, Bea Priestley. She is also committed to
Very
Japan.
Committed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pretty much live here now. So at least another, you know, 3 to 5 years, this is their home ring. That's what Japanese company wants, somebody they can count on. Not somebody who becomes somewhat famous over here and look for a place to go in America.
Like the Young Bucks.
Well, yeah, well, that's what they, you know, a lot of people felt about the Kenny Omega too, you know. The hottest, you know, hottest gaijin superstar in New Japan and Japan, you know, and then he's like got so political and went someplace else. Or something.
Apparently, he's according to what I've heard with Dave and Brian and Garrett, he's moved back to the U.S. and he's not on the New Japan website anymore.
Yeah, that I would still have, you know, see the connection with Japan. He's not going to not have a connection with Japan. People would need him. Somebody who speaks perfect language, you know? Yeah.
Do you guys have... You guys don't really have like an all-in or a star cast. Like even...
Are you in another subject already?
We're kind of all around. I mean, unless you have more to say about Kenny Omega.
Well, Kenny Omega will become a bigger star in America in next year or two or three, but he'll never stop having connection with Japan, is what I'm saying.
Do you think he'll... Does he have a connection still with New Japan? Or do you think he'll just
you.
Do, like, go back to DDT
I do,
or
I do.
Something? Okay.
No, not DDT. No. Something bigger than that. But even if he had connection with Japan... He's not going to tell you at this point. Am I good?
You're always great.
No, no.
You're always great.
But he's not, Kenny Omega is not going to tell anybody anything, okay? That's
Well,
how
no,
you get
yeah, he
big.
keeps everything very close to the vest.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And he becomes bigger and bigger.
But when you look at like StarCast and stuff like at AEW this weekend,
yeah.
You guys, Japan doesn't really have conventions like that.
Mm-mm. I wish we did. Something similar is always like a talk show. You know, you bring in Fujinami, you bring in Riki Choshu, you bring in Akira Maeda, Genichiro Tenryu, all the legends, you know, and have those guys sitting on stage and do the talk show, but not like convention with 50, you know, legends from the past. We don't have that. And the same reason, in the same way, we don't have Hall of Fame in Japan either. And I know why. You know, there was a legitimate 40-year war between Antonio Inoki School of Wrestling and Giant Baba School of Wrestling, okay? And you have like two different governing body or something, or two, not just Old Japan and New Japan, two different wrestling company, but it's more like a school of wrestling, you know, that lineage or some, it's almost like a different religion, okay? And the battle and the conflict and the real, in wrestling term, heat is so legitimate that Inoki people and their affiliate will never work with, you know, with Baba people, and Baba's affiliate will never work with somebody who had anything to do with Baba, I mean Inoki people. And wrestlers, talents like Tenryu, the Riki Choshu, the other people, you know, and Stan Hansen, the Bruiser Brody, the superstars are going back and forth time to time, you know, but they settled in one place at the end. But the reason WWE can have Hall of Fame is that they conquer the world, you know, even not just conquering the promotion war, but they bought all the video footage from all the past companies, you know, when they opened the WWE Network, they bought AEW tapes, the Dallas World Class tape, Bill Watts tape, NWA Florida tape, all the usable tape from Calgary, or the Paul Bosch, you know, Houston tapes they tried to buy, Tennessee tapes, all the existing everything they wanted to buy video footage, and their affiliates. And they actually, WWE actually spent their money to invite all the families and relatives and mother and father and cousins over to wherever you have WrestleMania that year. Remember? They invite people over. They are like, they really conquer the wrestling world. And see, when you have Hall of Fame, you will induct Hall of Fame, right? I mean, Hall of Famer. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, first Hall of Famer, you know, Japan should induct is, of course, Ricky Dozan, right? Ricky Dozan.
Right.
Then the second person will be, they'll be fighting over either Giant Baba or Antonio Inoki. And the reason that the Giant Baba is not on WWE Hall of Fame is that Antonio Inoki was inducted into WWE Hall of Fame first. Then Mrs. Baba and other people had wanted nothing to do with Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame.
Have offers been made in the past?
Yeah, of course. Of course. If John Laurinaitis inducted late Giant Baba into Hall of Fame before Antonio Inoki, it would have happened. You know? And but anyway.
So let's say that years from now, after, you know, unfortunately,
all the people are gone.
After everybody's gone, let's say you do the Hall of Fame, you do Ricky Dozan first, which everyone knows would happen. You could not do Baba and Inoki at the same time.
Oh, it's as sensitive as this. Who would be announced seconds first? You know, I mean, a minute before. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You can say you induct Inoki and Baba together this year, but who will be announced before you or him?
Well, what if it's sort of like when you have two big stars on a movie poster and the person who's on the left-hand side is a little bit lower than the name that's second on the right-hand side? What if you made a bigger deal out of the second person, but even though the other person is announced first, technically?
Yeah, but this is not us to, you know, to deal with. It's them to think about, you know? It's the heat is that legitimate, you know? The school of Giant Baba School of Wrestling and Antonio Inoki School of Wrestling all through, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s. But it's maybe 15, 20 years later and Giant Baba's gone. You know, Jumbo Tsuru's gone, Mrs. Baba's gone. We have All Japan, but it's not what it used to be. And we have New Japan, but it's not Anthony Inoki's New Japan. So maybe time will change. But as of right now, the reason we don't even have, you know, the WrestleCon is that you cannot make everybody happy over here. It's like everybody in the wrestling world is like your own king. It will be hard to have Riki Choshu, Akira Maeda, you know, the Tatsumi Fujinami and Tenryu. Maybe they are good friends, so that's fine. But not, you know, this is like so sensitive that him and him cannot be in the same room. These two cannot be in the same room. But him and him can be in the same room. So you have to remember everything. You have to have somebody like that. It's not sensitive or what?
Well, I mean, it's just like we saw at the Giant Baba Memorial Show in February that Inoki showed up, but he would not get in the ring.
Because that's All Japan ring. It's like he promised, you know, you'll never step into the All Japan ring. And he really came to closest to the ring and he stood right outside. It's like, wow, is he stubborn or what, right? And one more thing was that when they gathered all the old timers and all the superstars in the same ring at the end of the show, remember?
Yes.
Gather up and have a big, huge group shot. Inoki have left the building. You know? Yeah, he has to come to do the greetings and the little speech at the very beginning of the show. And he leaves right after that. You know? Never mingle with anybody else. It's like, wow. And some things don't change. You know, that's why we don't have Hall of Fame. We don't have, I've been suggesting to other people, like every January at the Wrestle Kingdom or something, you know, there's a small hall, you know, small concert hall right next to Tokyo Dome. It's called Prism Hall. And there should be like a, you know, like a fan access kind of thing. There should be a booth where you can take photo with Super Strong Machine. There should be a little booth you can take photo with somebody like a Kengo Kimura or the Cobra or Kuniaki Kobayashi, or have you know, like a Hardy Boys, like, you know, little talk segment with Shiro Koshinaka and Norio Honaga or somebody, and people will like it. You know what I mean?
Well, when we were there for Wrestle Kingdom, there was one of the halls, I don't know its name, but they had a whole exhibit / convention area for Ultraman that was going on.
Mm-hmm. That's the building.
Yeah.
That's the building, Prison
okay.
Hall.
Okay, yeah. That's Prison and, Hall. Okay.
Yeah, and the Cobra or the first, you know, Black Tiger, second Black Tiger, or the first, second, third Tiger Mask costume will be exhibited, or the historical, you know, first, second, third IWGP championship belts, or anything, just anything. And that's something All Japan and New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah and Big Japan, Dragon Gate, all those people can work with, don't you think?
I don't
but
know.
But you have to wait, huh?
Well, if I'm New Japan and I'm running the Tokyo Dome, I don't know how much I want to help my competitors, but I think New Japan could have their own fan access for sure.
Yeah, with their own superstar from the past.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's everybody who left the company had their own reason for leaving. And Fujinami will never be part of New Japan anything. You know what I'm saying? That these every little individual have a different reason. And I don't think there's anybody who can really follow up on everything, single those, you know?
So
very hard, huh?
It's a very sad anniversary this weekend. It's the 20th anniversary of the death.
Ah, yes, yes.
The tragic death of Owen Hart, who fell.
Yes.
Yeah, very sad.
It was 1999, May 23rd. He was only 33. Yeah. He just turned 33, maybe 3 weeks before that, you know? Yeah, 2 weeks before that. And Owen Hart had his own run in Japan. Of course, he was legit WWE superstar, babyface and heel. And at the end, he was in a new version of Hart Foundation, you know, when Brother Brett turned heel and it was Attitude Era begins. You know, remember those?
Who doesn't? It was a great time.
Right. Yeah. Actually, Owen Hart had his own run in Japan. He's, you know, he had about, I counted, he had 10 tours with Japan between 1987 to 1994. Yeah, between 87 and 94. And he was linked first with then rookie Hiroshi Hase, you know, as a big rival. Owen Hart, rookie year, you know, 86, 87, he was introduced to Japanese media as Calgary genius. Genius. They discovered genius in Calgary, like a wrestling genius.
Like Hase discovered a genius?
In Japanese media. Hase was his, you know, very first rival and friend. Great story.
Well,
you know,
Hase
story.
was in Calgary. They were the Viet Cong Express. Yeah.
Viet Cong Express, yes, that his run. And also that the reason Owen Hart's, you know, rookie year was well documented with Japanese, you know, magazines and videotape was that it was always linked to very well documented rookie Hiroshi Hase. Hiroshi Hase went 1984 LA Olympic, you know, and didn't place, but he was Olympian. Then following year, he joined with Ricky Choshu's group as your golden rookie and trained in Japan. Before his debut, he was sent to, you and I talked about, you know, sending young Japanese boys to, you know, abroad, you know, foreign country to get, you know, gain experience and all these things. Hiroshi Hase as a golden rookie was, his thing was always well documented in videotapes, in footages, and in sports newspaper and wrestling magazine. So he was sent to Puerto Rico first, then went to Calgary, you know. Then in Calgary, he put a mask on, he became Viet Cong Express. And his rival was then rookie Owen Hart. The Hart family had history in Japan too, you know, older brothers, not Brett, but, the, you know, Keith Hart, this, you know, or even the older brother, Smith, and Bruce Hart, Keith Hart, they all had Japanese tour. And Bret Hart, before he was famous, he had his program against Sayama, you know, original Tiger Mask, you know. And, but the at the time, Dynamite Kid was bigger star than Bret Hart. Anyhow, that in Hiroshi Hase's, you know, story, there is one more Hart. There's one, the youngest one in the family, right? There was one more Hart. That this one is the best of all Harts. The Calgary genius, Owen Hart. And he was introduced to, you know, Japanese wrestling magazine, and week after week after week, his photo was in Japanese magazine before his first tour, even. So, yeah, we were waiting for him to come over. And it was August of 1987, he finally made, you know, a first tour. And Hiroshi Hase was already back in Japan. And at the time, Hiroshi Hase was junior heavyweight, you know. A lot of people were, you know, Shiro Koshinaka, and some of these wrestlers start as junior heavyweight, but they, you know, become. You and I talked about Will Ospreay a minute ago, that, you know, when you were younger and you wrestle in ranks of junior heavyweight. At the time, Shiro Koshinaka and Nobuhiko Takada and Liger, you know, Keiichi Yamada without mask, they were all heavyweight division. And Owen Hart was thrown into that in a bunch. And he beat Hase for IWGP Junior Heavyweight title in May, I believe, of 1988. And he had this, you know, back and forth, just maybe 2 or 3 years, 2 or 3 tours a year, you know, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, and until he finally joined WWE, WWF at the time. See, he was always smaller heavyweight, wasn't he? You know, almost, you know, like a cruiserweight, you know, kind of body.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And he wasn't as big a star until he had like this family conflict that he worked, you know, like he betrayed his brother Bret and joined Yokozuna, and there was single match program between Bret Hart and Owen Hart that made Owen even bigger star, you know. And over here, that was when we didn't have him, you know. He had like a regular tour as a, you know, junior heavyweight superstar, and had a program against Liger, had a program against Koshinaka, Hase, Kuniaki Kobayashi, all these junior heavyweight then, you know.
Did
He was a
he,
star here.
when he's getting this big push, he's in the magazines, and you know, even you know, the After magazines were behind him too. And, you know, this high flying Owen Hart, and all the pictures were of splashes and dives and flips. And I'm sure those are the pictures you got. And then, you know, he gets promoted in Japan as the Calgary Genius. Did he live up to the hype at that time?
I think so. I think so because he wasn't just doing, you know, high flying thing and the flips and back flips and all the, you know, somersaults and moonsaults. He was wrestler, you know, and also not just those actual wrestling moves, but he had something about being able to connect with the audience and the crowd, you know, the expression. Or, you know, some people connect, some people don't. You know what I'm saying? It's not the language. You just maybe body language, you know, or some energy you kind of generate from the ring, and the people feel it, you know. And some people have, some wrestlers have it, some people don't. You know, he looks like a star, and he looks like he means what he does, you know. And also he made a lot of friends over here. He was really friendly that you know, he was an interesting guy that when he was staying at the Kyo Plaza Hotel in Tokyo, and then he was always able to, you know, find gym he can work out for free. You know, a Japanese gym, you know, pretty expensive sometimes, you know. And he always found, you know, fans who's hanging out at the hotel, you know, do laundry for him. And yeah, he was interesting that. And also he used to go to this, you know, Korean barbecue yakiniku place, and when the meat was frozen, he started throwing meat as a frisbee, and he's just like a little kid, you know. And yeah, he was very, very interesting, like lovable, you know. I mean, a total baby face in heart, I think, probably because he was a baby of the family. And yeah, something about him, it just made connection with people in Japan.
Did you hang out with him a lot?
He was, yeah, actually he was 3 years younger than I was, but not like hang out, and he never went out to drink or anything, you know. He never did, you know, not that I am a drinker or anything, but he didn't really go out to Roppongi nightclub scene or anything. He was more like, you know, I'll stay home and watch TV, or you know, I'll stay home and read. I'm gonna get up early and, you know, go get something to eat, and you know, walk to the gym. It's like he was walking like 3 miles to, you know, closest gym that you know, that lets you work out for free. And he walks back, you know, 40 minutes, 45-minute walk, 45 minutes walk back. And it's like this is the way he saves his money. And he had this very I don't know, humble lifestyle, you know. Yeah, very interesting.
A wrestler's mentality.
Yeah, that too. But it was like a really, really humble in heart, and like make connection with people and become friends. And he was easy to talk to, and yeah, at the building too, you know. They brought in. And you know, New Japan brought him in, but he was not exactly the headliner. See, they always had heavyweights, Bam Bam Bigelow, all the heavyweights guy, heavyweight guys are headliners, and Owen Hart was always put in like in the mid card, because he was a junior heavyweight. In Calgary, it was called mid heavyweight, right? And so he knew he was, like a smaller guys, but the same way Eddie Guerrero was, he always was talking to somebody who was a lot taller than him. So that was his style of communicating too. He's always talking to somebody who's t much taller than he is. So he got used to it, yeah.
What was it like in Japan, when the word got back about his tragic death?
I remember clearly, and I couldn't believe it's been 20 years. I remember it like I wouldn't say yesterday, but just a while back, what happened at the was it Over the Edge pay-per-view in Kansas
Yes.
City? Your Sunday night, early Sunday night, because it was the beginning of the show, right? Your early Sunday night in Kansas City is our early Monday morning on Monday, okay? On Monday. And Monday mornings are usually our, when I worked for Weekly Pro Wrestling Magazine, Mondays is the dead end, I mean, deadline for everything. You cannot change anything anymore after Monday afternoon. Everything submitted, you have all the deadlines, and we worked very hard to s change the cover page, of the magazine. We know we have to put Owen Hart on cover. I mean, it's all made, Monday afternoon. So time is ticking, and it was like we have to make impossible possible, kind of, do or die situation. No, we're gonna have to make cover page with Owen Hart. We have to. And then we made a change. Then in the same morning, I had somebody call Hiroshi Hase. He was already a parliament. I mean, actual legitimate politician, it's kind of hard to get a hold of, but we got a hold Hiroshi Hase, because I want, we wanted to, have comments, some, comment from Hiroshi Hase, the old friend of Owen Hart, then somebody, we got a hold Hiroshi Hase, and not just comment. Hiroshi Hase wanted to write something, but we told him, but you have to write right now, even a paragraph or two. He said, just wait, wait for an hour or two. He said, no, 2 hours, you can't do it. I said, and Hiroshi Hase said, I'm going to write it right now. And then 1999, some, half the people had email, half the people didn't use it. Remember?
Yeah.
It's 1999, and you're using more like Windows 98 or something, right? And anyhow, to make long story short, that we had Hiroshi Hase write up his, eulogy, and we got the story on fax, and somebody typed it on computer again, and then put that on magazine at the very last minute. Hiroshi Hase, he contributed a page to his old friend Owen Hart. It done, and it went in. So that was my story of the day. We made a cover, magazine of the cover, cover of the magazine with Owen Hart, and one little page with Hiroshi Hase's, message and eulogy for his friend Owen Hart. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't believe it was 20 years ago. But that's why I'm going to use this, our Weekly Pro Wrestling's cover page as our podcast cover this week.
Yeah, that's what, if you're wondering what the cover is for our podcast, it's that issue of Weekly Pro Wrestling.
Yes, we made the last minute, and everybody worked very hard to get it done. And that was the photo from 2 years, 3 years ago, a past, that was when he won the IWGP junior heavyweight title from Hiroshi Hase. So that was a property photo. That was really a, like shocking, night, morning. I mean, it was.
Yeah,
Make sense?
I had just moved from Spokane to Portland, Oregon for that a radio year? Job. Yeah. And so I didn't see that pay-per-view simply because of what I was doing at the time. But yeah, it was incredibly, incredibly shocking. And, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is that this, you know, WWE is incredibly popular at this time.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
You know, we're still on an uptick all the way to WrestleMania 17. And, you know, just it's incredibly popular still. You know, the Playboy covers with Sable and China are selling out. They're selling out everywhere. The pay-per-views, you know, WWE is just, like I said, still approaching its zenith as far as 90s popularity. And then this tragedy strikes.
Right. And also, it was a year and a half after Montreal thing. So Brett wasn't even there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was after he... in the switch to WCW, and Owen was not with him, and that's what was really bad about too, you know. Yeah, 20 years ago this week, actually today, yesterday. Yeah,
it's awful. Yeah, it's just an awful, awful situation.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, I don't want to end it on a sad note, so. Let me do this. I cruise Reddit. I read Reddit. From time to time. And this is a question that someone brought up. And I looked through all the answers. And I'm not the biggest expert, but I thought most of the answers were terrible. So I wanted to ask you this question from Reddit. And the question is Budokan Hall considered the Madison Square Garden of Japan? And I think is Budokan Hall, I guess the question for us would be, what is the Madison Square Garden of Japan, and how would you rate the historical significance of, say, Tokyo Dome, Korakuen, and Budokan? And I think the confusion with Reddit is you have a lot of younger fans on Reddit.
Right.
A lot of the historical stuff doesn't seem to get traction on Reddit, so they either weren't alive or just aren't aware of the incredible run that All Japan had in Budokan Hall. So,
and also, it sounded like somebody who think United States of America is the center of the universe.
That too, yes, that too.
Okay, what about Madison Square Garden being Nippon Budokan of America?
Right.
And actually, it's not for wrestling, you know, it's for, you know, Budokan meaning like the hall for martial arts in Japanese, and they really do have, you know, national and international judo tournament and kendo tournament over there, and it not even for wrestling, actually, it's a Nippon Budokan, and first non-wrestling, I mean a non-martial arts event that took place at the Budokan is 1967 Beatles concert. You know? 1966, I'm sorry. Yeah. 1966, the Beatles. You know, much like your Shea Stadium Beatles concert, there isn't big enough concert hall that would hold Beatles concert. And Budokan opened up for martial arts event for the first time, and there was a political issue about that, you know, and the 1966 Beatles concert, then 1967 first wrestling card was 1967 Giant Baba against Fritz Von Erich, and after that, you know, once a year or so Budokan being used, and the peak year was just like what you said, 90s All Japan's, you know, Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, Taue era, you know, the four pillar guys. And they were selling out 5 Budokan shows a year, you know. And that was the peak, you know, peak years, I believe. It holds 16,000 people. So it's actually smaller than Saitama Super Arena or Yokohama Arena and places like that. So there are places actually bigger than Budokan, but it's right in the middle of Tokyo, and it's this 70-year-old building still standing there, like your Tao Palace or something. It's like a historical place, you know. So it's kind of hard to explain, you know. Madison Square Garden is pretty old too, you know. This current Madison Square Garden is what they opened, what, 66, 67. Yeah.
Yeah, and also kind of like what we talked about with that documentary that you were part of in New York City with our friend Hassan. Hi, Hassan, if you're listening.
Hi.
You know, with WWE kind of moving on to Barclays Center,
Stadium.
yeah, we may never see another major show in
At the Madison
Madison
Square Garden,
Square Garden,
probably not.
like a WrestleMania or a title change from WWE ever again.
Yeah, what was that? From Buddy Rogers to Bruno Sammartino, Bruno Sammartino to Ivan Kola, Ivan Kola to Pedro Morales to, yeah, Bob Backlund to everybody else, right? And
Kevin Nash.
that too, yeah. Kevin Nash and second reign of Bob Backlund, yeah.
Bret
That
Hart.
might be Bret Hart too, yeah. But that might be the last time, huh?
It may, I mean, things could always change, I suppose, but yeah, that could be the last time.
Yeah. So, what was the question the Reddit people? Okay,
Is
Madison,
Budokan like okay,
Buddha
is
B.
Budokan considered the Madison Square Garden of Japan? I guess, where do you think is the most prestigious place for a wrestler in Japan to main event or to wrestle?
Ooh, I'd say Ryogoku Sumo Hall and Budokan Hall, both, yeah. Two places. Korakuen is great, but only holds 1,700. And Tokyo Dome is very commercial, very commercial. And I wouldn't see, they'll be running, 5, 10 Tokyo Dome show at all. It's special because it only happens once a year. And that's not, it's actually, you've been to Tokyo Dome. It's the worst place for us to watch wrestling. It's so far away, everything so far away, and nobody's actually watching ring. You are looking at that big monitor, when you're in Tokyo at the Tokyo Dome. Much like you and I at the, this WrestleMania, we never looked down on ring. We were watching the screen at all time.
You could
So
see the
Tokyo
ring,
Dome
but
is
yeah,
like
there
that.
wasn't, you couldn't decipher what was really happening very well. No, I mean, it is primarily a baseball or concert venue, so there's only
It's a
so many
baseball
people in the
stadium, yeah.
infield, and then you're watching from the outfield.
So far away, and the ring is so small, and sometimes do you hear delay on the sound, thump, 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 so, and what if it rains even? But so Tokyo Dome isn't the best place to watch wrestling, but it is the event value that Wrestle Kingdom now, every January, it's like you go there, but prestigious, I'm not sure what's so prestigious, depends on what you look at,
Well, let's talk about Korakuen. Someone's trying to compare Korakuen to the ECW Arena, the Hammerstein Ballroom, and that's just ridiculous. I
That's
guess by
ridiculous.
size, yes, but when you're
Size,
talking
yes.
about, there have been some incredible matches and historical matches at
Yeah,
Korakuen.
historical. And not all the group use the ECW arena. But every single wrestling company in history used, Korakuen Hall. I mean, talking about the Ricky, not the Ricky Dozan, but the old Japan Pro Wrestling, Giant Baba version of Old Japan, Antonio Inoki version of in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Every single UWF group, UWF second, UWF Fujiwara Gumi, UWF I to Pancras to, now that the Big Japan that. 01 to Dragon Gate to Battle Arts to every single women's group too. Every single wrestling company that ever existed used Korakuen Hall that much, And also all the professional boxing fight take place over there when they don't have wrestling. So all year long it's like there's something going every night. Either boxing or kickboxing or wrestling, at the
Or
Korakuen.
comedy. I
So,
didn't know that Corkin is also a
yeah,
sp
comedy. Yes. That's a house of, yeah. There's a part of that, the building that you can make a stage. And there's a, yeah, comedy show that's taking place over 50 years. Yeah, it's a great point.
That's
Yeah.
incredible that there's comedy at
Well,
Corkin
because it's the
Hall.
partially, it's owned by Channel 4. Nippon TV owns part of that, a whole Tokyo Dome complex and Korakuen Hall building is part of that deal. So,
It is a nice venue to
owner
watch
of it.
wrestling because all the sight lines are good. You're not too far away from anywhere.
Right. And also, it's not enough room to stand up, enough room to walk around, and the concessions close enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the graffiti they never erase, you know, that's great, you know. So it's not same as ECW Arena. Korakuen Hall has its own history and tradition, you know. Nothing to take away from ECW Arena. I love that place too, but it's not the same.
No, it has a much richer history
Yeah, let's wait
than
another
most
50 years
arenas
or
when it comes
so.
to wrestling.
Yeah. Well, ECW Arena was created by ECW Revolution and Paul Heyman and their buddies and everybody who worked there, you know, and they're living off their legacy for 20, 25 years now. But wait another 25 years, maybe ECW Arena and part of, you know, South Philadelphia will be, you know, legend. Already a legend, but it's not the same as Corken Hall. Let's stop comparing things, you know.
I just thought it was an interesting question, and I just
Yeah,
thought
yeah.
that maybe if people are on the Reddit and they saw this, that maybe it would help
It's
kind
good to have younger generation, you know, fans are interested in history, you know, and they're in process of like really learning. That's good though.
of. Yeah, that is good. All right.
Yeah.
So have we covered
Okay.
everything? We've unpacked a lot on this show.
Yeah, Young Bucks, AEW. We didn't really go into AEW that much, but you probably watched over this weekend. I'll try to watch that in Japan over here, and then we can talk about that probably next week or the following week after your vacation. But we covered Owen Hart's legacy in Japan, the relationship and special, you know, yeah, friendship with Hiroshi Hase and how well documented he was and the connection with people. The reason we don't have Hall of Fame in even you know, WrestleCon or StarCast kind of thing in Japan, that should happen, you know, but it's very political in Japan. What else? We covered a lot.
We've covered a lot, so there you go. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they connect with you?
It's Fumihiko Dayo, FumihikoDayo on Twitter, or you could just find me Fumi Saito on Facebook.
And I'm at Jim Valley on Twitter and on Facebook. And until next time.
So long from Tokyo. Thank you.